The following is a First Marine Aircraft Wing taped historical interview. The interviewee is Captain Raven N. Patrick, 082463 USMC. Pilot attached to VMFA 323, MAG 13, Chu Lao, Republic of Vietnam. The interviewer is Corporal Norman R. Carlson, 218-5474 USMC. This interview takes place in Chu Lao, Republic of Vietnam on 2 March 1968. The subject of this interview is a close air support mission in Khe Sanh area. The events described in this interview occurred on 28 February 1968. This interview is classified confidential until downgraded by higher authority.
Captain R.N. Patrick Jr. from VMFA 323 and be describing a mission flown the 28th of February in support of Khe Sanh. Took off late in the afternoon for a 1700 TOT, and the aircraft were configured with Delta 26 Mikes. And the lead airplane had three Zunis aboard. Well, the first things a pilot tends to think about when flying a mission in support of Khe Sanh or in the Khe Sanh area, of course, is the number one, the AAA threat of the enemy in that area, and also the density of air traffic, which tends to complicate the mission further. As we launched out, received vectors from Vice Squad to a holding point, generally to the southeast of Khe Sanh, trying to remain as clear as possible of the AAA threat and the high-density traffic. And we were forced to orbit for approximately 20 minutes prior to arriving on station or coming up with a fact that could work us. And after orbiting for the prescribed time, we were directed into the target area by TACA, who was at the time orbiting directly over Khe Sanh airfield. We picked him up almost immediately, made one complete 360 around Khe Sanh to the right, and came back as we were downwind from him. He marked the target, which happened to be enemy trenches and bunkers, appeared to be not more than a mile off the end of the runway at Khe Sanh. And with our Delta 26 mics, I had already briefed the flight to make 30-degree runs unless with a 1,500-foot pullout, unless we had a less fairly obscure target and just an area of coverage desired by the TACA. As I've stated, we made one circle around the target. The TACA requested a left-hand pattern, and at the time we were making right-hand circles, so we requested clearance to make a right-hand roll-in for the first run and continue the left pattern. Since we're only carrying eight Delta 26s per airplane, or correction, yes, eight per airplane, we decided to make two runs, and the first run I rolled in with the mark, and you can clearly see the trenches from the area and the altitude that we were at around 10,000 feet. Rolled in hot the first run, dropped four Delta 26s and pulled off to the left. My wingman came in and received his mark from the TACA and dropped, and I made one more run, dropping my remaining four Delta 26s, and my wingman followed suit. The BA we got in the trench areas, we caved in several trenches, I think, and he gave us 7 KBA confirmed. But we saw no AAA airbursts or were advised by the fact that we had any small arms fire directed at us. But the the big thing in this area, of course, just about every pilot that flies in the area would like to have hard ordnance when working against AAA threat. Again, when you get troop concentrations and targets that are vulnerable to soft ordnance, then, and we fully expect this to occur in the near future, then it's part of the job we're doing. But I think just about anybody, if you ask them, would prefer to use hard ordnance, particularly when you're not really that close to friendlies. The advantages, of course, keep you out of the AAA or the small arms range, generally about 3,000 feet. You sacrifice some accuracy with your bomb delivery and ordnance delivery, and of course you necessarily can't drop napalm from 30-degree run, and these are the weapons that you'll use against troop concentrations. The increasing air density and air traffic in the Khe Sanh area is very definitely going to be a problem in the near future, and again, just about everyone in this squadron boosts their flight fairly and fly in a tactical formation to enhance their area visibility, and whenever possible, we like to brief not to orbit the target area until you actually clear in and actually have air traffic separation from your controller. This doesn't preclude some stranger flying through your area, but it at least gives you some confidence in the fact that you've got an airspace and you should be. Normally, when we fly TPQ missions up there, as opposed to CAS or DAS type missions, you will have adequate air traffic separation by using the appropriate basques or ASRAT facilities, who can only work at one airplane at a time, and the vice squad people will always give you at least 1,000-foot separation. So that precludes any real conflict there. But of course, you have airplanes in the area, Air Force and whatnot, that are not under any positive control, and just generally pop up in the area requesting TPQ or requesting use on the target with another airborne fact that is not under the direct control of First Marine Airline. In the future, under a real big air push, we're going to really have some problems in this area unless we get some coordinated control of all the air effort in that particular area. There have been many instances in the squadron that have filtered back down that indicate that this is going to be a problem, and again, any one mission you fly up in the area is always punctuated with not near misses, but things that could have degenerated to mid-airs or real problem areas.